1, 2, 3, 4. Some might be offended that I'm sharing the secret. I'll make an exception because I think you'll keep it. What I'm telling you's true. Cross my heart, hope to die. What have you got to lose? Why would I lie?
Hello and welcome to We Always Lie to Strangers, a podcast about Ozark's history, folklore, and beyond. My name is Sharp Woolston.
I'm Daniel Smiley.
I'm Gus Carlson.
And I'm Raymond Mathis.
And we might always lie to strangers, but not on this show because we're all friends here. Thank you for joining us. All right, today we're going to be talking about Peter Mankins. Now, today's yarn begins on September 19th, 1770, in Charles County, Maryland, or September 30th, 1776, in Switzerland.
Okay.
Would you rather live in Switzerland or Maryland?
In 1770?
Yes.
So there's a plus or minus 6 years, and he may have lived through the American Revolution as a young kid?
So through all my sources, I only found one that said Switzerland, but it was too fun not to mention. And so we are going with September 19th, 1776 in Charles County, Maryland.
Okay.
So even if I might have preferred to live in Switzerland in the 1700s, I have to live in Maryland because that's the timeline we're in.
I just love a choose-your-own-adventure story.
Peter Mankins was born on that date to John Mankins and Massa, a Delaware Indian woman who also went by Massa Massa and Macy.
Okay.
No exact date is given, but sometime during the Revolutionary War, both of his parents died.
Okay. So surely he's like in more of the like backwoods Appalachian part?
I believe this is near Annapolis. I don't know what near means.
He's probably not a rich guy, right?
I don't think so. Okay. After the death of his parents, he was sent to Alexandria, Virginia, where he lived with a baker. And while he was there, he watched the American army marching towards Yorktown to attack General Cornwallis
at
the end of the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, Alexandria is basically D.C.
And you guys remember that scene from The Patriot starring Mel Gibson, right?
Yeah.
Did anyone else have that one for the American history class? Because that's where we got in our Ozarks education.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
I can explain it. See, Yorktown was a peninsula. I got them right there, and they thought I'm going to stop. You guys don't care.
Now, after Peter Mankins turned 18, he left Virginia. And then for around the next 15 years, he moved around a lot from West Virginia, North Carolina. He would have been, we're talking about 18 to 33, give or take.
Okay. It's a pretty widespread.
Yeah, well, I mean, because of the time frame, it's hard to keep records for a lot of this stuff.
Okay. That's how old I am.
And so he was
1833.
And a carpenter, huh?
But he lived in West Virginia and North Carolina and Illinois before marrying Rachel Bracken in 1803 and settling in Kentucky.
We're getting closer, getting warmer, heating up.
Now, he had 11 children, including the main subject for today.
Man, dude was busy.
Yeah.
Peter Mankins Jr.
There was less to do back then, Dan.
Never mind. Sorry.
Peter Mankins Jr. was born August 1st, 1813. For the sake of clarity, I will refer to the men as Peter Sr. and Peter Jr. for the rest of the story, even though Peter Jr. would go on to have the nickname Old Pete.
Oh, God.
Despite being the younger Pete.
And this
I think
is
we
where,
should go
this
with, like,
is
Little
where...
Petey.
Yeah, this is where you're starting. I'm already just very confused.
We're doomed.
All right. Now, in 1833, Old Pete, which is to say Peter Jr., left Kentucky and went west.
To Missouri.
So he would have been 20 years old at this time, and he ultimately stopped and settled by building a home and farm on the Middle Fork of the White River and partially laying out the streets, or I'm blanking on the word, but laying
streets,
out
they're
what
called,
would be
their streets, roads,
like the town
thoroughfares.
You know what I mean?
Sure, he's like an urban planner,
boulevards.
Yes, but he laid down a town called New Prospect, which would soon be called Mankins.
Oh, I thought it was going to be called Old Prospect eventually.
Yeah. First of all, where's Old Prospect? Second of all, he laid it out and was like, I'm not going to name it after myself. And then someone was like, nah, man, got to give it to you. Got to give you props. You laid down these. Look at these boulevards.
There doesn't have to be an Old Prospect.
This Greenway.
It's a new prospect for you.
Well, also, at this point, like, post offices hated any town name with more than one word. So that there's probably some level of, like, the postmaster changed the name so that it was, like...
Yeah, he probably was like, I call this New Prospect. And then whenever the first post office got set up, someone was like, yeah, who lives here? Peter Mankins? Mankins.
Yep.
You know, I think that's how most places were named.
Just like Bevo-Rama.
Yeah. That's named after John Bevo-Rama.
It's like Blue Eye was named because, like, the postmaster there had blue eyes. Like, you know, sometimes it's just like, we got to come up with something.
I can't wait for old Pete to meet Tusk. When does that happen in the story?
Sooner than you think.
Yes.
And also, now, for a lot of this early stuff, we don't have dates and specific details, unfortunately.
I think we should make
but
some up.
On his journey to Arkansas from Kentucky, he met and married a woman named Amanda Mills, who went by her middle name of Narcissa.
Narcissa?
Yeah.
Now that, there's no way it sounded like that. Make it Kentucky.
Narcissa?
Narcissa? Narcissa, you get in there. You put in some shoes before you go outside. I tell you what.
Wasn't that the Malfoy character in Harry Potter?
She was...
that was from The Patriot.
No. Expecto Patronum.
Now, and I also want to point out that Narcissa was believed to be from Illinois or Indiana. In 1835, it is believed that Peter Jr. helped surveying what is now downtown Fayetteville, as the historical record lists A. Mankins as helping with the survey.
But not the Mankins.
Yeah, just A.
Not the Mankins.
Not apostrophe Mankins, just A. Mankins.
No, just A. Mankins, and since there were no other Mankins known in the area at the time, it is believed that this is just referencing Peter Mankins Jr.
That sounds like some bullshit. Call him bullshit.
Well, there's a running joke that everyone was extremely drunk because you've all seen the layout of downtown Fayetteville. It is not very straight.
It's a grid system.
Yeah, but look at it from a map, top down. It is not.
Oh yeah, I don't really know much about maps.
A grid.
I mean, how are they? Excellent.
It should
point,
be noted,
Dan.
Daniel got a degree in maps. He's a map studier.
So he's a cartographer.
Map studier. I like it better.
I'm just saying that.
I got a C in cartography.
Calling.
Not helping your case.
Yeah, it must have clearly been from studying the Fayetteville map, because calling it a grid is.
Well, how are they going to see it from above? It's like 1840.
They in a balloon?
That's a good point.
Well, how did they make the Nazca lines, Raymond?
Now, I had multiple description or multiple sources. I had multiple sources I used for this. And for the most part, on any information, I would go to majority opinion. But the sources were split right down the middle, where half of them said that Peter Mankins Jr. was 6'4 or some other tall height, or, you know, below average in his height.
Is he really short in the other version? Because I want that one.
They're split. I don't know if I'd say really short.
He's like 2.5 feet tall.
I would say, you know, whatever.
He was Big Petey or Little Petey. We're not really sure.
I mean, what do you think the average height of someone was in the mid-1800s?
It would have been probably about somewhere in the 5'9 to 5'11 range. Maybe a little shorter.
That cannot be true.
5'10.
Yeah,
that
could
not
be true.
In the 1840s?
It's probably like
7 foot
5'6.
Y'all think we're eating better now than we were back then?
I would say food is more consistent. Like,
it's so cool that they invented tall people in like 1975.
Yeah, like there's not widespread famines in the early 19th century.
When was basketball created?
That's how evolution works.
Well, yeah, basketball was created after the first person hit 6 feet.
By Dr. Naismith in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, for those tall New England women.
Despite the description of his height being varied, all sources say that he was very, very strong and known to lift 100-pound bags of wheat or whole hogs single-handedly and, you know, carrying a hog under each arm.
Dude, he's got a hog between his legs.
Almost certainly. It was also said that he killed a bear with his bare hands, and even though he was a great shot with any type of firearm, his preferred weapon while deer hunting was a rock.
This is Bill Brasky.
Yeah, I'm assuming... This
is that we all lie to strangers bullshit. Yeah, old Pete, who's the new Pete, is killing deer.
Better than
with
the old
rock.
Pete.
Yeah. It is
going to be old Pete.
The deer in Fayetteville have always been tame. I think is what he's saying.
Now, well, it is interesting because a lot of his earlier life before a lot of things that we know happened for sure do hit the tall tale variety. And actually, this next story is kind of the end of the tall tale section of his life and more into what we know for fact about his life.
If I could just stop us for a second and go back to the carrying a whole hog. Do we think the hog is alive or dead in these tellings?
You know, they never said.
Because the difficulties of carrying a live hog, it seems more impressive, but you would have literal dead weight if it's a dead hog. So...
I like the idea of thinking that the hogs like him so much that they're just, like, along for the ride.
They're just getting a cuddle.
Yeah.
Just his little sidekick.
Let me get to this last tall tale of Peter Mankins Jr. Now, in this story, in 1845, he was challenged by a man named Stephen Inyart, the self-proclaimed strongest man in Arkansas, to a fight in Marshall's Prairie, which is now known as Elkins.
Okay.
Now, Peter Jr. fought Inyart for 3 hours on a cold, snowy day in the winter before a crowd of paying and betting spectators. And at the end of the 3 hours, judges declared a draw, but Inyart stole the money. The real winner was Peter Jr. because while Inyart spent the next 3 days recovering in bed, the next day, Peter Jr. won a foot race against a champion sprinter named William Fine.
Nice.
Champion of what?
Yeah, sprinting. That's just how we like. Before you have record books, it's just like, no, I'm the strongest man.
I'm the champion of Marshall's Field, and I will
step up
to anyone. Listen, I can lick a lily pad off a June bug. I tell you what.
I mean, we're talking about a part of the country that today is fairly unpopulated, but this is 180 years ago. I think it's really easy to go, I'm the champion sprinter of these parts.
Well, shitfire, no, you ain't.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably like how it happened.
And yeah, I'm the barefoot running champion.
Now, in the late 1840s, Peter Jr. primarily worked as a drover, herding hogs from Mankins.
A driver, if it was present tense. Drover.
He was a drover.
That's my wife.
Have you never heard the term drover?
Can you please illuminate the pod?
It's a cattle drover. No one has heard drover.
You said hogs.
A hog drover.
Yeah, and he's a hog holder.
A hog drover.
All right.
He caresses them.
So he's like a cowboy, but he's a hog boy.
Yes.
Is this the origin of Tusk?
Is this the origin of calling the hogs?
Now, I will say that I just checked what the definition of drover is, and a drover...
Past tense of driver.
No, a drover only drives cattle or sheep, so... I guess he's just a hogman. I guess you can't drove a hog.
Okay, but like... They would, you know, like the term root hog or die, the hogs would just be out in the woods and then eventually you'd like put food out and they'd come back.
Right.
Where is he driving them to?
Well,
did he make up a job just so he could like get drunk in the woods? Work on his foot races? He's been racing the hogs.
Well, with this feral hog epidemic, we need this guy back.
Well, he would move hogs from the Ozarks, up to Kansas City and Chicago and as far south as New Orleans.
He started Kansas City Barbecue.
That's what we're learning. You knew exactly where the episode was going to go. But the most common route that he would take was south, kind of around where the pig trail is now, and he would take the pigs to Ozark, where they would be loaded up onto boats and shipped down to New Orleans for the hog.
Now, should we
there.
Explain what the pig trail is to the audience?
We definitely can.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's like an obvious reference point for us, but
so scenic Highway 23 in the great state of Arkansas connects. I mean, really, the part anyone cares about is it's the stretch between Huntsville and Ozark, right?
Hey, Eureka Springs.
Is that 23 that goes all the way up there? Oh, yep. See, this is why we have Dan on here with his knowledge of maps. But it's just, it's what, one of the most infamously curvy but also pretty stretches of Ozark highways, I think we would all agree.
Yeah, it goes through the Ozark National Forest and kind of up in the Mulberry watershed. It's really nice.
It's the Isn't fucking...
It, it's because folks would, like, drive up it, see Hogs games in Fayetteville.
Yeah. People would come up on it from the south to go to Hogs games.
I don't know if I believe that's the origin. I think it's because of how damn curvy it is. I will say it is the worst place to be on in the entire fucking state if you're behind a goddamn Okie or a Texan.
I would contest that and say any dirt road is worse. Like... As far as
I mean, I think any north-south road through the Ozarks, I would say, is the worst to be behind.
And yeah, it's not like Highway 7's any better.
There's just there's no passing. There's no pull-offs.
Honestly, Highway 43 has the most tourists on it, so you're more likely to find a Texan or an Okie there.
Wait, and where's 43? What's the stretch? Is 43?
No, that just goes from Harrison to Ponca.
It goes from Harrison to Clarksville, Daniel.
No, that's 21.
Yeah, that's 43. Are you telling me that 43, when you hit the bridge, does it change to 21?
No, at Boxer Valley.
I think you...
This is we only lie to strangers, where we try and remember the highways that we only drive from memory because none of us learned the fucking highway names.
I'm being super correct.
For the record,
I know.
I trust Daniel in this.
You know, I'm gonna check.
I lived on these roads and I couldn't tell.
I actually don't. It's all landmarks. Don't trust Daniel here. Daniel's right. 43 stops in Boxley. I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. Now, at 1849, Peter Jr. left Arkansas to go west to California with a group of prospectors to try their luck in the gold rush. Now, all we know is that in 1851, so 2 years later, Peter Jr. returned to Arkansas with $4,000, which is the equivalent to $140,000 in today's money. We don't know the exact time frame, but sometime between his return to Arkansas in 1851 and the start of the Civil War, Peter Jr. became active in the slave trade. Now... Peter Jr. never owned slaves himself and was more or less just involved in trafficking humans through the Ozarks.
I want to know how you do that without owning them.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just telling you what I read.
I'm just saying it sounds like they're like, oh, he didn't have a slave at his home. He just bought them and sold them. He's a slave owner.
Look, he is actively involved in the trafficking of humans.
Which makes you a slave owner.
I'm just saying I don't.
I feel like they're trying because they're like, but he mapped
his heart was in the right
Fayetteville.
Spot. No, his
he
heart.
Mapped,
his
what's
heart
he
was,
supposed to do?
His heart was absolutely not in the right spot.
He just needed a good return on his investment.
Listen, I'm not trying to defend him at all.
Sounds like you are.
I'm just saying.
This is who you choose for your first one.
Because it was short.
I hope he dies.
He was actually really tall.
I hope he dies.
Honestly,
the
worst thing about Peter Mankins, born in 1813, he's still alive today. He never got
God. Fuck.
He's older. He's oldest Pete now.
Now, elder Pete.
A lot of sources like to talk about how Northwest Arkansas had a high amount of Union supporters.
Which that's true.
Well,
like there was
it's true in relation.
Support.
It's true in relation to the state of Arkansas. It wasn't really that high. Now, during the Civil
Newton
War,
County was like 2-1 as far as Union to Confederacy. Now, their motives were not great. Their motive was, fuck my neighbor. Like
When Arkansas was voting on seceding, this isn't in the script, but I was reading about it. When Arkansas was voting on seceding, Washington had initially voted to remain in the Union, but ultimately a bunch of counties flipped at the last minute when they were outvoted. And so the only county that voted to remain in the Union was Madison County. So it's not really the county. It's, you know, starting in around 1862, the area control was exchanged between the Union and Confederacy back and forth one way or the other for most of the rest of the war. And around this time is when Peter Jr. withdrew from the slave trade. And he never joined the...
Was it a choice or was it like... Oh, the Union
shit,
troops
the heat's
are
around
here.
The corner.
I guess
thing.
I have to stop.
It was definitely, whoops, this isn't this isn't going to be safe.
I can't
to do.
Make money right now.
Yeah, it was definitely okay. The amount. I mean, you had, there because the rest of this time, the Union Army, now Fayetteville might be in the hands of the Confederacy.
But,
of the
but
Union.
It wasn't a moral decision. Like he,
no,
his,
there is
okay.
There is actively... Union and Confederate troops mm-hmm. in the area for, you know, the next several years. Now, Peter Jr. never joined the Confederate Army, but at the beginning of the war, I said beginning of the war, but this was probably a couple of years into it, he financed and recruited what became the 34th Arkansas Infantry in the Confederate Army, and then later in 1863... he financed and recruited a gang of bushwhackers that would become known as Mankins Gang. Most of the Mankins Gang's involvement in the Civil War was kind of interfering with the operations of Union Colonel Marcus LaRue Harrison, the namesake of Harrison, Arkansas, and his 1st Arkansas Cavalry. Now, the most well-documented story of the Mankins Gangs was in the winter of 1863, when Colonel Harrison had ordered Captain Charles Galloway and the 1st Arkansas Cavalry to eliminate the Mankins Gang, who were at the time thought to be hiding out near the mouth of the Mulberry River. Galloway, upon arriving into the river valley, broke his orders and attempted to capture 3 Confederate steamboats that were reported to be heading up the Arkansas River.
Nice.
Unfortunately, this proved to be false, and no steamboats ever appeared in the area. But Galloway's unit, since it had been split up whenever this had happened, 2 smaller units had interaction with the enemy. One of them did find a Confederate steamboat, but it
and
was...
That's the origin of the Branson Bell.
Yeah. which was in a different area, and they did have a gunfight with it. And another...
They did find some duck boats as well.
At the bottom of the river.
Too soon.
Now, another unit that had split off did encounter the Mankins Gang, who were hiding in a cabin, had a gunfight. Several members of the Mankins Gang were killed, and the rest fled from the area. Now, the most famous event in Peter Mankins's life, while probably fictional, is definitely derived from this moment.
Bigger than the winning a foot race after a 3-hour battle where all the money gets stolen?
Yeah, because, well, and here's the thing. The difference is this story right here. Every single thing I read about him brought this up.
Short Peter had none of these problems.
Yeah, so it's I imagine this being very cinematic because it is said that while escaping from 300 Union soldiers, he swam across the Arkansas River. Near Ozark, and while he's swimming across the Arkansas River, you know, they're firing on him, all that, and he escapes. Anyway.
God,
I would not
want
to swim across the Arkansas.
No, not at all.
I guess it was probably less gross back then.
Wouldn't have been as wide, presumably.
And not dammed it.
Yeah, but like all those showboats that you got to get past.
They didn't have all the dams. Wouldn't it have been...
Oh, that's fair.
Now, Peter Jenkins, though I have Peter Jr. Jr. written and I keep saying Jenkins.
Can't imagine how that's not a tongue twister.
Peter Jr. and the Mankins Gang were
Let's
regularly...
call him Old Pete.
Old Pete.
Old Pete Jr.
We can get there in a second. So, Old Pete, and the Mankins gang were regularly mentioned in reports throughout the remainder of the war from Colonel Harrison, but never anything specific, like no major interactions or anything like that. And there's
so
no.
Are they mainly around the River Valley? Are they mainly Northwest Arkansas? Or are they just kind of like just dicking around?
Well, I think honestly, that's a great question, and I did not read too specifically into Colonel Harrison, but I think he had to have been stationed near Fayetteville.
Well, I mean the
whereas
gang,
the Mankins gang
yeah.
I mean, I think they were probably headquartered in Mankins, which is, you know, kind of, I mean, it's about 8 miles probably southeast of Fayetteville, but okay. they're active. I mean, they were hanging out in the River Valley. So I would say all of the Ozarks, but I would probably say most of these activities would be in the Fayetteville area because that's where Colonel Harrison was stationed.
Mm-hmm. But now does this gang have a Branson show yet?
We can start one up.
It's the Presley family.
Yeah, right. Presley family origins.
So there's no record at all of Peter Jr. surrendering, being arrested, any parole or pardon after the war. So
tough luck for Petey's boys.
Yeah, and also his wife Narcissa had died during the war.
No.
Now, post-war, he remarried. Post-war, he remarried a woman named Esther and lived at his home in Mankins, where he helped to take care of his father, who was still alive at this point. And from 1866 to 1868, he served as the Washington County Coroner, which is just kind of fun.
Wait, what were those dates again?
1866 to 1868.
So immediately after, like, fucking around as a bushwhacker, he's like, by the way, coroner
he
now.
He is the Washington County coroner, yes.
Like, no repercussions. Cool.
No. I mean, I think it's, I think he was, you know.
He was good at his job.
Well, I think he also had enough money that it didn't matter, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But this would have been when the Union Army occupied the South, though. Like,
yes,
that's
absolutely.
Like it's not like they immediately left, right?
No,
they trust you guys.
Actively here.
He's just walking around like, oh, used to shoot it, y'all.
A lot of Colonel Harrison's history, when I was just kind of briefly reading about it, is about his involvement in the Reconstruction of this area of the country.
And probably just being pissed off all the time, just being like, fucking Mankins.
Yeah, and
he used to destroy my fucking boats.
Yeah, and he knows that if he dies, that it's going to be Peter Mankins that's involved. And
yeah,
that.
Peter Mankins.
I'm going to build a boat that he can't sink. Best boat on the river.
It's going to make me look really stupid in the coffin.
Well, the best boat is a coffin.
Nice.
I don't know where I was going with that, but there, I made the joke. Now, Peter Mankins died on December 30th, 1881. And, of course, by that, I mean Peter Sr., who had lived to the age of 111.
Jesus Christ.
Or 107, depending on whether he was born in Switzerland or not.
Three out of four that I saw were 1770, so he's 111 to me.
Cue the Pokemon evolution music, because this is where he becomes old Pete.
I like that y'all couldn't believe that people averaged 5'9", but you can believe like 111. Yeah. Okay, let's go on.
I mean, that's how old they are in the Bible.
I used the Lord's name in vain when I heard that.
Thank you, Dan. I'm sorry. I'm not including you in this.
God.
I do find it funny that Raymond is upset that he might have lived to the age of 111 because the alternate is he lived to 105. Like, that is some big difference in age.
I'm just saying, I don't know that I believe he was born when he said he was born.
I mean, who's to say?
Who's to say? How good was his numbers?
Now, Peter Jr. died. Oh, excuse me. Old Pete died March 4th, 1899, in Mankins. But by
well,
this
Peter
point,
Jr. did die because he became Old Pete.
Oh, yes. Old Pete died. He did die. I was joking when I said that he lived to be over 200 years old.
Well, I mean, given his genetics.
Yeah, that was just a goof. I was just goofing on y'all. Anyway, when he died, Mankins had been renamed Sulphur City. He and all of his family are buried at Reese Cemetery, though Peter Jr.'s grave is unmarked.
Sulphur City doesn't have the same ring to it, to be honest.
It really doesn't. And actually, they tried to name it Sulphur Springs because there's a Sulphur Spring there, but there was already a town called Sulphur Springs.
Man, imagine wanting it to be New Prospect, then getting it named after yourself, then getting the name usurped by shitty, rotten egg-smelling place.
Yeah, now it's Sulphur City.
Come on down to Shithole Springs.
Yeah, like, who the fuck is like, yeah, come to Sulphur Springs. What does it smell like? You don't want to know. It's like your meemaw's well water.
Yeah, it's like my parents' well water. I thought that I was going to be the smelly kid in school because I had to bathe in rotten egg shit all the time.
And the obituary that was in the newspaper, there was a typo. And the headline said, "Mankind dies in Sulphur City."
Damn.
Not Mick Foley.
And anyway, that's the story of Old Pete.
Nice.
Which, again, nice. It's like, I mean, obviously he's a villain. He was a slave owner. But I just thought there were, like, just enough twists and turns in the story as a whole. You know, you've
just
got...
like the pig trail.
Yeah, and you've got your... You've got
yeah,
your,
this
like,
is a good one for us to delete eventually.
Thanks, everyone, for coming to the first episode of We Always Lie to Strangers. We hope to see you again.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Maybe we'll be better next time.
Doubt it.
Hey everyone, Sharp here. I forgot to mention sources in this episode. We've got Let Us Build Us a City by Donald Harrington. We've got a number of pages from the Encyclopedia of Arkansas website, which is just wonderful, including the occupation of Fayetteville, Washington County, Marcus LaRue Harrison, Peter Mankins Jr., and the skirmish at Vine Prairie. Those are all individual pages on the Encyclopedia of Arkansas, if that wasn't clear. And then an obituary from the Northwest Arkansas Times from 1950, which also featured, quote, Mankins tidbits and tall tales. And, of course, the Find a Grave page for Peter Mankins Sr. I want to thank Plain Old Heath again for the theme song, and I want to thank everyone for listening. I hope you come back next week. Thanks. All right, I said goodbye too early. Not trying to peel too many onion curtains open, but since this is a new podcast, I haven't been diving headfirst into research. By that I mean reading as much or as diligently as I should, because I want to use time wisely as we learn and improve at podcasting. Weeks after recording this episode and another week after I recorded the outro, days before the release of the episode, I found sources that prove Peter Mankins was a slave owner, and we will likely have another episode this season about the topic because the story I uncovered is very interesting. Thank you for your support and your patience, and see you next time.